B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. I'm very excited to talk to our next guest because, you know, we've been talking about this O-line all season long. And, you know, it's been a staple, right? It was a staple in their Super Bowl victory 5 years ago. And it's been a staple. It's even better this year. I mean, you know, you look at what Lane is doing. You look at what Kelce, Mailata, and this whole group, Dickerson. It's just a Sayamalu. It's just been an incredible unit. And a guy that is a incredible O-lineman, HOF, I think, played 11 seasons for the Browns, now on the NFL Network, doing a great job, is our buddy Joe Thomas on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Joe. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
What a pleasure, man. Last time we had you on, you're fantastic. And I was excited to talk to you about this line because, you know, you guys never got the love, right? You never get love. It's a thankless position. And when it's done this well, this town really appreciates it. So it's kind of a good thing. I'm just curious at what you thought of this Eagles offensive line.
Well, I said before the season that they're the best offensive line in football, and they made me look smart all season long because they've played like it. They've done a great job staying healthy, which is always a big issue on the offensive line. You're always going to lose guys throughout the season, but keeping those guys that are your core together, and then when you do have the replacements come in, make sure that you don't miss a beat, especially with the communication. That's so important up front, getting those guys on the same page. And I think that's going to be a really big key when I look to the Super Bowl matchup, because Philly's got the advantage on both the offense and defensive line. But the one guy who's kind of the equalizer is Chris Jones. He's the defensive tackle. He'll be up for defensive player of the year. And he really ran roughshod over the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. And being able to stop him, being able to communicate where he lines up on that front for the Eagles offensive line is going to be a huge part of slowing him down and giving them the opportunity to run their normal offense from a normal down and distance.
Yeah, this I agree with you. And, you know, Spags is a good friend of ours. So knowing that, you know, listen, he'll move him up and down the line. He'll move him in the middle. He did it with NASCAR package when he was with the Giants. The only thing is that Bengals O-line was so decimated by injuries. So, and not to take anything away from Chris Jones, he was a beast. He was just incredible. But I'm hoping that, you know, that kind of translates a little bit off that Chiefs front.
Yeah, I agree. I will say that, though, on behalf of the Bengals offensive line, they were beat up from injuries. But if you watch the game the week before against the Bills, they played pretty well. Like, they did a pretty good job protecting for Burrow. And Burrow is one of those guys that he does hang on to the football a little bit. But Chris Jones is just, he's been unblockable most of his career. And certainly that's been the same during the playoff run. And I think his biggest weapon, and Spags does a great job using him this way, is that he'll line up over the center. He'll line up over the guard. And I think they pick and choose their opportunity to line him up over tackle, but that's almost when he's the most dangerous to me, because as a tackle, I remember lining up and you're seeing a speed guy all day long, right? So you're getting fastball.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you get the changeup and you're not ready for it. Just like in baseball, you know, all of a sudden when I was a rookie, they'd move Albert Haynesworth out over you. And it's like, you don't know how to handle that transition from just dealing with a guy that's fast and not strong to a guy who's pretty quick, pretty fast and super strong. But thankfully, the elixir for the Eagles is Lane Johnson, the best right tackle in football. And I think he'll be able to handle him. And so it'll be interesting to see that cat and mouse game and how it unfolds on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, it's funny because we talk about Lane, and you know that he needs abdominal surgery after the season. He's been playing like this for the last month. And I mean, what does it mean for a team when you, because you were this kind of player, when you got a guy like Lane, who everyone knows he needs surgery, everyone knows the dude's in a massive amount of pain, and he just not only gutting it out, but playing so well and so clean. What does that do for just a team itself?
I think it's awesome. And Lane's already one of the vocal leaders, and he's been that way from the last time that they won the Super Bowl. But as a teammate, when you see a guy like that that's gotten through it, not only on Sundays, but during the week of practice, and you see the amount of pain and anguish that he's putting on the line for you, the teammates, you realize that, hey, I better have my T's crossed and my I's dotted, and I better be sucking it up, because look what this guy's putting on the line for the team. Look how much he's going through, and he doesn't need to do this. He's already got his Super Bowl ring. He's already, for the most part, cemented his legacy, but he's doing this for us, for some of these guys that are new, some of these young guys who weren't here the last time we made the Super Bowl run. And I think that draws inspiration, but at the same time, it raises the level of expectation of what those guys are willing to go through, you know, to be able to win this Super Bowl, because a lot of times it's a desire thing, right? And for people that have never been there before, they want to be able to taste that for the very first time, and to have that emotional leader going through the pain that he's going through and knowing that he's laying it all on the line for the team. You realize how important it is for everybody, and I think that can be a big rallying cry for this team.
So we talk about Lane, and I got to ask you about Kelce, because still doing it, you know, all these years, and you want to talk about, you know, the best center in the NFL. I mean, I can't believe that it's not Jason Kelce. I mean, what he's done from a leadership standpoint, but just from a play standpoint, I mean, he's amazing, man, doing it this long.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Centers can play a long time because it's a very cerebral position. Like, the most important thing you do typically as a center is you're making sure that you're pointing the protections, you're getting the rest of those four linemen on the same page with your quarterbacks, your tight ends, your running backs, and making sure that you got a hat on a hat. And so a lot of times, you know, you see guys play longer than they should or they normally could, because the importance of getting everybody lined up is so great. Yeah, that's a high priority for the position, but, you know, he hasn't lost a step at all. If anything, his speed, his quickness, his power is as good as it's ever been throughout his career, which I don't know how he does it. I mean, we're about the same age, and I tried to get the basketball today, this morning, and it didn't go so well. I got nowhere near the same level of power and explosion that I used to do, but to watch him doing it right now as well as he's ever done it in his career, it's fun to watch, and I agree with you. To me, he's played as the best center in football all season, and it's no question in my mind when you ask me who the best center is. It's Jason Kelce.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Do you know Jeff Stoutland at all?
I don't.
And I'd love to see you guys sit in a room and talk about the O-line, because Stoutland, we always joke about Stoutland University and what he's done building Jordan Mailata into just an incredible tackle, and all these young kids from Alabama. You know, Stoutland's an amazing dude. At some point, you guys need to do a piece and sit down in the same room.
That'd be great. I'd love to do it. So actually, Paul Dunn, he was at IMG Academy when Jordan Mailata came over there from Australia. So he trained him, and I was talking to him yesterday about Jordan. Dunn, he coached me in Cleveland for a little bit. It was just fun kind of hearing the progression of, you know, when Jordan first came over here. And he told me a story that the first time Jordan went to go get water after he started working with Paul down in IMG, and he didn't know anything about football, he tried to drink like a cup of water through his face mask and just dumped it all over himself because he'd never had a helmet with a face mask on before. And to think that this guy in just a couple years went from a person that didn't even know how to drink water with the face mask on to playing in the Super Bowl at a Pro Bowl level. It's just an unbelievable story, and I love hearing those stories. And bringing this game international has been a lot of fun. I got a chance to go over to Germany for that first NFL German game this fall. It was so much fun, and it's just so cool seeing how quickly pro football, American football, is being adopted on a global level. And to hear those stories individually, like with Jordan, is so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. I agree with you. I love that fact. Real quick, just touch on the Eagles' D line for a moment. You know, Howie Roseman did an incredible job, right? At some point, they were a little soft against the run. He winds up bringing in, they were a little banged up too in the middle. So he brings in Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. And both those guys have just made a huge impact. They've allowed Fletcher Cox to be better, not to take as many snaps, right? That line has been relentless because it was always strong on the outside with Reddick and with Brandon Graham. But now having, you know, those guys is a big deal, right? Like, because, you know, that line is deep and it just comes at you in waves. Now, how do you match the Eagles' D-line up with the Kansas City O-line?
Well, I think it's a big advantage for the Eagles, and that's why I'm picking the Eagles in this game, because, you know, I'm not one of these former offensive linemen that if you ever ask me, you know, what the key to the game is, oh, it's always up front. You know, it's always
right, right.
Like, yeah, okay, that's great during the regular season, but the playoffs is all about quarterback play, right? Because it comes down to 3-4 plays in a game, and typically it's 2-minute drill at the end of the half or typically the end of the game where somebody's got to go make a throw, extend the play, do something magical like we've seen Hurts and Mahomes do all season long. But really in this game, it comes down to O and D line. And I think with the Eagles defensive line, it's going to be a tough matchup to be able to handle those different waves of pass rushers for the Chiefs. Because as good as Patrick Mahomes has been getting out of the pocket, even with his high ankle sprain, like, it's tough to do that just over and over and over again because you just don't have time to find your guys down the field. And so I really like this matchup in favor of the Eagles because you're not going to be able to establish any type of running game because you mentioned how stout they are into the inside. And so when you get predictable and now all of a sudden you get those outside guys pinning their ears back and you can start to get a little bit creative with some of your blitz packages when you know that they have to throw the football and they have no ability to run, especially if Mahomes is still a little bit limited with that ankle, because he looked like he kind of tweaked it again in the AFC Championship game. Like, they're going to have to play out of the shotgun more than they want to, which even further limits the menu that they can call running the ball. And I think that just even more favors the pass rush for the Eagles.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I do. I think the same thing. What do you think of Reddick's season and you trying to block, you know, knowing about all those guys off the edge, what Hassan Reddick has done? I mean, you know, that line set a record for sacks and it was led by Reddick. And what is it that he does that gives such problems to tackles?
Well, it's the speed he's got, right? And he's bendy. I always thought, especially on the edge, like when you get guys lined up in one-on-one situations that are big, strong tackles, and they move their feet pretty well, but all of a sudden you got a guy like Reddick who has that burst off the football. So he gets a little bit ahead of you already in your pass set. And then now in your mind, you don't want to do it, but you panic a little bit, right? You're like, oh, I got to speed up. I got to catch back up to this guy, you know? It's like when you're running a race and you're supposed to be keeping good form. I'm sure you were a sprinter in high school. But then all of a sudden the guy next to you, he's kind of taking off a little bit. You start kind of pressing and you start losing your form and it actually slows you down. And it's the same thing when you're a tackle and you're taking a pass set. You're trying to keep your form, but you feel like you have to speed up and it screws up your timing and then you lose your balance. And then when you're out of balance at the point of contact, now the defensive lineman can kind of dictate what he wants to do to you. And that's exactly what you've seen throughout the season because that speed, that get off the ball, kind of sets up some of those other moves, some of those up and unders. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. They do a good job. You put 5 pass rushers on the field, what are you going to do? You're going to get a lot of one-on-ones. And eventually people are going to win when you got guys named Hassan Reddick and Fletcher Cox on your team.
My man, listen, Joe Thomas, great stuff as always. Keep breaking it down for the NFL Network. NFL Network provides comprehensive live coverage of this Super Bowl starting on Monday. So we'll all be watching in Philadelphia. You know that, buddy.
Yeah, baby. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, pal. See you, Joe. Joe Thomas on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.